helps if I use it, hey? This morning's Bible reading is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. Songs of loudest praise, like Emma said. I think that's rejoicing. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Good morning, everyone. Some remember my name, Will. I'm one of the student youth pastors here, and I'm more a 4:30, 6:30 guy, running youth in 4:30 and worshipping at the 6:30. And I remember coming to my first 9:30 service, and I knew no one. So it's great to be able to come. I've done that for a year, to come now. And there's so many familiar faces. I've gone to some of your places for dinner. You've come to my place for dinner. We've gone on men's retreats and things like that. My highlight, though, it was a stormy night. I'd walked to church, and as I walk outside, Joy looked at me and said, "You're not walking home." And I said, "No," and she gave me a lift. Now, Joy, I think you've got a little small Yaris or something like that. You drive it like a four-wheel drive. It was great. But can I just say, it's an absolute privilege to be able to speak this morning. I didn't actually realize I was speaking at the 9:30 service until Tuesday. It just kind of, I missed it. And I wasn't really nervous about speaking until Tuesday either. So I wonder why. But there's something special about being welcomed here. I moved schools in year five. And on the first day, my mum caught the bus with me to show me where to go and make sure I made it right, made it all right. Mums are great like that. And we had all the introductions, and we walked to the edge of the playground, and I still can't quite believe that I did this, but I kissed her bye and walked out into the playground, not knowing anyone or who was even in my grade. So I walked up to this game of handball and asked the dreaded question, "Can I play?" And thankfully, they said yes. And to be honest, I wasn't too bad at handball, so they accepted me in because I could beat them. And turned out a week later, I didn't really want to be friends with them, and so I went and made new friends. But there's something about being new, the fear, the excitement, that whole getting to know each other. So thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for letting me speak to you. And it is my prayer that this morning God will speak to each one of us, that we will grow in our relationship with each other, with God, and that we will go from here as changing and transforming people who strive to creatively live out the kingdom of God each and every day. This morning, we're looking at the topic of celebrating together. And the more I looked into this topic, though, the more I couldn't avoid the fact that kingdom celebrating flows from an obedience and trust in God that results in joy. Celebration seems to be this outpouring of joy. So we'll be looking at celebrating. We'll be looking at what joy is and where it should be found, and we'll explore what celebrating looks like in the kingdom of God. But first, let's pray. Lord, we gather here this morning to learn more about who you are, who we are, and what your kingdom looks like in our lives and the people around us. Speak to each one of us this morning. Give us creative ears to listen, inspiration to change, and people to keep us accountable. We love you and we trust you. Amen. I love to celebrate. It's one of the best things that we can do. The other morning, I woke up early to watch Crystal Palace, my English football team, play, and I was sitting on my couch by myself, celebrating the 2-0 win. I was shouting and clapping and completely invested in my laptop screen, with red and blue joy flowing through my veins. Or take New Year's. We love to celebrate that clock ticking over to the new year. People literally camp out the day beforehand just to be part of the celebration. I'm not a big firework guy, and I don't fully get the celebration or the whole camp out or even sit in the sun for 10 hours during the day. But anyway, people love it. We love to be part of that celebration of something bigger. And I did enjoy this year when it rained at that critical point in the afternoon. But to celebrate such a big occasion, the new year, we go all out. We love to celebrate. We love to celebrate all sorts of things, from birthdays to Christmas and Easter, to weddings and engagements, new houses, moving out of houses, going away, coming home, finishing a school or degree, or getting your braces off, buying a new car or house. Whatever the reason, we love to celebrate. And we do funny things when we celebrate too. We buy nice food. We invite friends around, we pop champagne, we go on holidays, we buy gifts, we take lots of photos, we throw confetti everywhere, we sing, we dance, we laugh. And I think often that Christians can seem to miss the point when it comes to celebrating. We can end up taking everything just a bit too seriously. We miss what it means to be celebrating and who we're meant to be celebrating with. So we don't dance or sing or let joy pour out of us in celebration of all the good things in life. As Christians, we don't have to sit around not enjoying the goodness of what we have here on earth, and we don't have to suppress the ways which we want to express this. We can and should celebrate. Now, a passage tonight written by Paul to the church in Philippi, it begins with Paul exclaiming in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Some other translations have celebrate or revel or be full of joy. Rejoice always. Celebrate always. Be full of joy always. In 2017, I went over to the UK for a mate's wedding. He had a beautiful reception venue south of London in a lavender farm. There was this grass patch in the middle of the field of lavender where we set up in the days prior. The thing about having a wedding in the middle of a lavender field is that there is nothing there. And so we had to bring in everything from marquee to toilets to kitchen to the floor to the sound to chairs. The list just kept going on for ages. And setting all this up in a field where it's never been before takes time. And then at a wedding when there's two families coming together and they both have an ideal, I'm not a real fine details guy, and I don't really, not really good at making things look all that pretty. So I was with a few other boys in carrying the big things in, moving chairs around, setting up the floor, putting up the lights, and it's sort of mundane work. But me and my mate, who was getting married, we decided early on that we needed to make it fun. We needed to celebrate throughout the day, even just the little things. So after each task we completed, we would do a little boogie and we'd dance on the floor or pull out some atrocious moves. And we were rejoicing the whole time, celebrating what was to be a good day. It sounds great, doesn't it? Always celebrating, always be happy, always be laughing, always be having great food with great friends and family and setting off fireworks and throwing confetti, going on holidays and getting and giving gifts. But I mean, yeah, but nah. It sounds great, but we know it's not possible. Bad things happen. We don't always feel like celebrating. We can't always. Life is just mundane sometimes too. We can't always be rejoicing. We can't always be celebrating. While setting up the wedding, of course, we set up multiple things wrong, and that's hard to celebrate. Or it's hard to celebrate when the festoon lights across the reception hall fall down and all the globes crack. Or when my mate left his bag on the bus on the way home and we have to chase it multiple blocks to catch it. Or when the fairy lights to guide the path in the dark snap in half. It's funny how quickly we lose our dance. So Paul Yeah, but nah. But Paul is onto something deeper here. Something deeper than always being happy or always having this smile. He definitely wouldn't have been one of those people holding up the smile Jesus loves you sign at this point. Paul is getting at a deeper joy and more abundant celebration. You might have heard of the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years was designated as a Jubilee year for Israel. It served as this great reminder, just like the Sabbath every week, that God has created everything. Everything is God's. It's also a reminder that humans are not the only owners of the land and are not to hold on to property forever. Because we're thankful to God for liberating us, we should also liberate others from their debts. Jesus' ministry also began by quoting Isaiah 61 in Luke 4, where he proclaims the year of Jubilee, consequently calling us into perpetual Jubilee years. The year of Jubilee is this radical restructuring of social arrangements. Debts were cancelled, slaves were released, crops were not planted, and property was returned to its original owner. It's this freedom from possessions. It's freedom from the way that social structures oppressed and marginalized the few. It's a new way of doing life, and it's worth celebrating. And it's crazy for us to even begin to consider what that looks like. The year of Jubilee is this massive celebration of the gracious provisions of God in every area of our life. At its core, it is complete trust in the provision of God and complete obedience to God's work and plan for all people. It is entering into living life in the kingdom of God, being an active part of living out God's kingdom, a tangible and very clear way to be a part of what God is doing and furthering his kingdom plans. The year of Jubilee is just this little glimpse into what rejoicing and celebrating in God's kingdom looks like. Enough for everyone. All people. Debts paid. Slaves free. The kingdom of God can often be a term which we sort of throw around, but do we actually know what we talk about when we say the kingdom of God? Mike Frost puts it like this, and we've got it on the screen. The sovereign rule of the triune God, which must be accepted by us in faithful, grateful obedience, and which shapes us into a redeemed society of persons who trust in God's present rule but hope for its final revelation, and who are used by God to fashion forecasting of that rule right now. What's that mean? That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rule sovereignly. And we must be people who accept this with faith and obedience. And that shapes us. Our faith and obedience shapes us. And this shapes us to trust God's rule now, knowing that we get these little glimpses of the final fulfillment of his kingdom. But presently, we only see glimpses. And we are people who live out these glimpses. We long for these glimpses. And we're used by God to live out the kingdom today. So God reigns. This world, this kingdom is his, and we are to acknowledge his reign over all things. This shapes us to become people who become more and more in tune with who God is and what he is doing and what he has done. How's this all link to celebrating? Well, when we live in the kingdom of God, when we acknowledge that everything is his, when we are obedient to what God is calling us to, we find joy. Deep, true, life-giving joy, which comes from this trust and obedience in God. Joy flows from obedience, and joy is reliant on trust. Paul isn't hinting at always smiling. He's telling us to rejoice, because we are part of the kingdom of God, his new way of life, his restructuring of power and society, and this is all worth celebrating. This is why in verse 5, Paul tells us that the Lord is near. The completion of God's kingdom is drawing near. For the time being, we only have glimpses of what that kingdom is, but that is worth celebrating. So why are we to rejoice? We are to rejoice because God is with us. The kingdom is His. His kingdom is here now and still to come, and He is using us to live this out through our obedience and trust in His provision and His plan for all history. The next few verses, 6 to 8, point to this deeper joy. A joy with this full dependence and obedience to God. In verse 6, Paul tells the Philippians to be anxious about nothing. We see it in Matthew 6:25. We are also told not to worry. But I don't know about you, I feel anxious and I worry about a lot of things, like food and coffee, and mainly food and coffee, actually. But we can end up being anxious about a lot of things. Our family, our friends, our house and car, our relationship, what we eat, our jobs, our future, everything in our lives can end up being a source of anxiety for us, something for us to worry about. Not necessarily till we're completely overwhelmed by anxiety, but we can be anxious nonetheless. And Paul isn't saying don't worry about any of this either. All these aspects of our life are important and special, and we need to spend time on them and make them the best that they can be. But is it what we value most in life? Does our worry blur our vision of what is really important in life? Do we trust God's provision with everything that we have? Because we will never have a carefree indifference to things until we trust God. We'll never have a carefree indifference to things until we trust God. Joy comes from trust and obedience to God. And so we will not find true joy until we discover what it means to have a carefree indifference to things of this world and find importance in the things of God's kingdom. In the Jubilee year, no one could celebrate completely unless they had a deep trust in God's ability to provide for their needs. All their needs. Do we have complete trust in God's ability to provide in our lives, that we can find deep joy in His provisions? Or do we trust ourselves and our own ability to provide what we think we need, that we end up being anxious about things not part of God's plan and His kingdom? Being worried and anxious about things which God is not worried about is this barrier that we face to joy. It is a barrier to being free, just to celebrate God's provisions and His free gift of grace. Let's be Jubilee people. People who have such this obedience and trust in God that we could give absolutely everything away and just be content knowing that God will provide and that His kingdom plans are far greater than our own. Jubilee people who want to just celebrate what God celebrates. Philippians 4:8 then goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true or noble or right or pure or lovely or admirable, praiseworthy, or excellent. Where as followers of Christ are we to find joy? Paul thinks in these things. Too often I think we can find joy in singing this certain song, of having music fill us with joy. Or it might be in having the right people around us and being included in the right group. Or joy is found in being able to exercise the special charismatic gifts of the Spirit. And as good as these things are, however, joy, this true, deep kingdom joy, will not be found in them. Joy is more than just a feeling which comes and goes. In fact, joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. Without obedience, our joy will be hollow and artificial. Joy through obedience, and joy results from obedience. as we rejoice, Paul tells the church to think about these things above, to set our mind on God's order. God has this created order of full and excellent and good things. And it follows naturally that as we give our attention to these things, to God's things, we will find joy. And if we think that we'll find joy by just singing and praying, we will end up disappointed. Yet if we fill our lives with the simple good things, these things which are true, noble, right, pure and lovely, and if we are consistently thanking God for each and every one of these things, we will be joyful. A kingdom focus resulting in kingdom joy, a deep, true, life-giving joy worthy of celebrating. At the end of verse 8, Paul says, think about such things. We have this decision to make. We have to decide to set our minds on these higher things. We need to work at it. It's a discipline. In fact, Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, where he talks about all these different spiritual disciplines, has celebration right at the end. Celebration being a discipline which we must work on and be intentional about and strive to improve in. All coming from this understanding of joy and having our minds set on God's kingdom rather than our own. Joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. At the core of joy is obedience to follow Jesus, to live his way, to live out his kingdom, to be people who have a kingdom focus with every aspect of our life, to be people who live in the year of Jubilee and who celebrate everything that Jesus is about. A radical way of life and a radical restructuring of society. And we can talk about joy and celebrating all we like, but I genuinely believe that this Brené Brown quote rings true here. Brené is a research professor at the University of Houston and has spent the past 2 decades studying courage and vulnerability, shame and empathy. And she says this, "We know that the way to move information from your head to your heart is through your hands. To celebrate in the kingdom of God is to be Jubilee people who get our hands dirty and are so active in living out everything that the Jubilee is about. As we are obedient to Christ, our lives will change. Our celebrating will change. And that's a good thing. What comfort there is too in knowing that as we work on celebrating, as we're intentional about celebrating the joy we have, and as we work on finding joy in all the right areas in our life, where we make mistakes and where we figure it out, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So let's be people of joy and celebration, where singing, laughing, and dancing are regular, where creativity is encouraged and appreciated, where events including family, the church, and the wider community are so appreciated that they are a time of complete celebration at what a gift all these things are from God. Let's find joy in the kingdom of God. Jubilee joy in God's provisions. Let's be Jubilee people who celebrate what God celebrates. And above all, let's be a church that does this together. Joy isn't to be found alone. Following Jesus isn't to be done solo. Let's be people who celebrate the joy we have together as one church and one body. This year, let's celebrate the little things. Let's celebrate the good things. Let's be intentional about celebrating our relationships all together. And above all, let's be thankful for the gift of grace from which all these good things flow. Let's pray.